Wait, Evan.
How do I do this again?
Do what?
You know, podcast. The viewers don't know who we are. We don't even know who we are.
Who are we?
I'm Nick. That's Evan.
I'm Evan.
You're probably wondering, this is a wrestling show. Why is Nick wearing a Kevin Garnett jersey?
Great question.
And I have that answer.
Why is that?
This is still a wrestling podcast. But Evan?
¿Qué pasa?
Shit just changed around here.
Oh, baby. Oh, we're changing.
We're changing. Because we've missed a month of wrestling. We've missed every single mark that you could hit. We've missed deadlines.
Why?
We've been missing audio.
Why?
Evan, it's time to take the mark. That's old news.
Yeah, just gotta go.
You know why?
Gotta go.
Because we've been missing the mark.
Missing the mark.
This is missing the mark. This is the new version of the mark. The mark, no longer. This mark, here to stay because we missed it. We missed it completely. Three strikes, you're out. What this is now is I'm Nick, that's Evan. If you didn't know, I already introduced that. But this is now not just a wrestling podcast. This is a hockey. This is a baseball. This is sports.
Football.
This is sports.
Basketball.
Tennis. I don't know about tennis.
Golf.
But yes, golf. So,
yeah.
Evan... me and Evan came to a discussion. We're rebranding completely because we suck and nobody listens. And I think it's because people don't like wrestling.
Yeah.
And for the people that don't like to... people that don't like wrestling, you suck.
Amen.
Amen.
I do agree with that. You do stink. You just try it.
Yeah, try it. Just once. Just try it.
Just once.
Just once. Anyways, Evan... welcome back. We haven't done this.
I'm happy to be here.
I am psyched to be here. We haven't been here in a month, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah, life just gets in the way, man.
Life, sickness.
Yep.
Broken car parts.
Yep. Concerts. Kids.
Banquets. Not chorus banquets, just banquets.
Any kind of banquets.
Yes.
Any sort of banquet. We're finally able to, we've been able to congregate today. We did make this decision.
Three hours ago. We said, fuck it, we're rebranding. And if you don't like that, you can shove it or turn it off because this is the way of the world now. Either change or... what's the saying, Evan? Either evolve or crumble. What,
bro?
You know it.
It's survive in advance.
Yes.
No.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
We'll go
with that. Yes.
Good enough.
So me and Evan are here to discuss wrestling, but after we discuss this week's Raw and really talk about what wrestling is all about, we got some new stuff to talk about because there's been a lot that happens in the sports world.
Yep.
Sports isn't just on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and the occasional Saturday. The select Saturday or Sunday. Sports is on every day. And you people deserve to hear about the sports going on. So Evan, let's talk a little wrestling and then let's get into the other side of sports.
Yeah, not the entertainment, just the actual sports.
Yes, real sports.
Real sports.
Well,
we're in a sports entertainment and real sports podcast.
Yes. Evolve.
Yeah. Evolve or be evolve.
Yes. Evan, what happened on Raw? You didn't watch, did you?
No.
I didn't either.
I watched a little bit. So we started with the usual, you know, Seth Rollins promo. He came out. He said his thing.
I can't wait to turn the belt.
And he is the Money in the Bank champ.
I miss your
Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, he's doing his thing. Whatever. He's having fun.
Yeah.
There was a banger match with, I believe it was Penta and somebody else. Great match. Very fun. And then that main event with Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso was a very good match.
Yes, good I did catch highlights. I
was very impressed. I'm happy that Cody won. Like, I'm not like gonna sit here and say that, you know, Jey shouldn't have won, but like, you know, put him in a backseat. He was just the champion. We'll let Cody get built back up again.
He had a crappy title run.
He had a really crappy title run.
It was kind of useless the way that they did. They kind of did him dirty.
They literally gave Gunther the title so he could fight Goldberg. Are you kidding me?
That's because I hate Goldberg.
I don't hate Goldberg. Here's the thing. I don't hate these wrestlers. I hate the WWE just does these things for these wrestlers because they're like, oh, I'm such a legend, I can do this, I can do whatever I want. Yeah. I get that. Manny Pacquiao's doing that right now. He's just like, I'm going to come out of retirement and fight for a title. Why not? Yeah. You know? But, like, I hate the fact that, like, Goldberg, he's not the man. He's just not the man, I don't think. Respectfully.
My thoughts on Goldberg is, when I was younger, I thought Goldberg was the shit.
Yeah.
Used to beat up, like, all the heels, be the good guy.
Yeah.
Total badass.
Yeah, undefeated.
As I get older, I realize that he's a very slow and very just kind of five-trick pony. Does his five moves.
Right.
Can't rest. Let's be honest. As much as you guys, wrestling fans, as much as you guys want to believe, true wrestling fans know, Goldberg can't wrestle.
No.
Goldberg has never been able to wrestle.
No.
You he's proven that time and time again, even when he was in his prime in WCW. Goldberg has five moves, if that. Other than that, he's just kind of a big, strong athlete that used to be a football player and is kind of just a meathead, if I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. So my whole thing with that is that what he's old.
Why he was having a hard time getting into the ring.
Yes. Why give him a title shot when you have You have plenty of young talent that can easily fill that card. I'm not saying have another Jey Uso Gunther. That's over. That's done with. Please. We're moving on from that, thankfully.
Please.
We have so much young talent, and not even just young, like age-wise, like young as in like guys that can still move and perform on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
That are in their prime.
Right.
That I feel like I tell you this all the time. Mark, this is the Mark talking.
Oh no. Nah.
We waste good talent and we use bad talent.
Yep.
Granted, we were talking about it today at work, Evan. Half the roster is injured.
Yes.
Chad Gable's going for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He played. Granted, he's been a workhorse all year.
That match at Worlds Collide was insane.
It's good for him to have the time off, though. It's good for him to have the time off, though.
Yeah.
But I didn't want it to come at that circumstances. I would have liked it that he's just getting 3 months off,
right? Because he's been working his ass off,
and he works twice. Sometimes works two matches a night.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't he have a title yet?
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't he been put into that main picture spot? Yes. Oh, he's a funny gimmick.
Right.
Doesn't matter. The guy has proven time and time again that he can outwork most of these guys on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do it and put over a guy that sucks.
Exactly.
All I'm going to say is that I hope he has a speedy recovery to whatever happened. And when he comes back, they need to use him properly or else we're going to lose Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, yes, he could go to TNA and he could still be a part of shit.
Yeah.
Cool. But if we lose him to AEW, AEW is going to use him properly.
Yeah.
Because he is going to be another... Who's the AEW person that... Swerve Strickland.
Swerve? There's so many of them. Adam Cole, Swerve. Cedric Alexander just debuted.
You can name a million.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
The Hurt Business.
Yes.
Hurt Locker.
Yeah, the Hurt Locker. And all them. Like, it's just you... You waste and then you lose and then you watch them succeed somewhere else.
Right.
I can't take it all the time. Yes, some circumstances were worse than others. But at the same time, you got to use your talent. Use it.
Yeah, they should. It is frustrating, I think, that Gunther is getting the title shot. I hate that so much because it's like.
You mean Goldberg?
What did I say?
Gunther.
Shit.
Either way, I knew who you were talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't like that Goldberg is just getting this title shot. It's just frustrating. Like you said, there's just so many, you know, guys you can use for that last match.
I'm going to take my sunglasses off because I just looked at myself in the camera. Nah. I look like an asshole.
Yeah. Riff Raff. Attaboy.
Tiptoeing in my Jordans.
Terrible.
I don't know how Riff Raff ever became famous.
Yeah. It's because of that TikTok he had. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to get
I
rid.
Just want to blow up and act like I don't know nobody.
That was a Vine, not a TikTok.
With his teeth. Wow. I'm old.
Yeah, so damn. Am I.
That's brutal. I hate it.
This is a wiffle ball bat, guys. This is a wiffle ball bat.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
Pre-K show and tell. Yeah, look at me. I got Triple H's WWE's Night of Champions. Previewing a little sneak preview into next week. This book may or may not get read.
Possibly. We're going to choose our own adventure.
I'm there for it. Yes. Anyways, so
to wrap up this whole WWE discussion, we're
this
not.
This whole Gunther so Goldberg.
Before
BS.
We jump farther into this, we're not going to stray away from wrestling. We're still going to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, very
it's
much so.
It's going to be very condensed to what we normally do, though, because we want to hit other markets.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to reiterate that because I already know you guys are like, it still sounds like the mark. Don't worry. If you need to, skip ahead. I don't care. Skip ahead.
Yeah, I'll put a little timestamp in there.
Yeah, we can put timestamps if you really want it. Because, yeah. Or let us know. We can do full episodes of just one sport.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever boats your float.
No.
I didn't mean to flub that. Anyways, continue.
Hey, you're doing good. You're doing really, really good.
I know. Continue.
I am thoroughly enjoying Sammy sort of getting a main event push. He's getting there. Finn Balor, he's causing some chaos in the Judgment Day. Obviously, with Liv Morgan down, you're kind of seeing Roxanne emerge, but she's kind of got her thing with Raquel going on. There's some the Judgment Day's looking a little shady right now.
They always look shady though.
Not looking good.
They're always
that is true.
They're always
Finn
shady.
It just seems like Finn Balor's there to create chaos, and it's hysterical. My Derrick Rose, it's terrible.
I love Derrick Rose.
Yeah, that's my Derrick Rose. He's the GOAT, but like, he had an injury, and everyone's like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're just kind of.
You're just there now.
Yep, exactly.
Derrick Rose.
I feel bad.
Shout out Derrick Rose, my favorite basketball player.
Shout out Derrick Rose.
Let's flash back real quick to Friday night.
Friday night.
We got a pipe bomb 2.0. Yes, I am going to say that.
Ooh, not Rocco Rock.
We're watching One Night Stand 2005.
Sorry.
Cena flubbed some of the lines, obviously.
Yeah.
But nothing can beat the original, obviously.
Yeah.
But God damn it. When he sat on that, after he put him through the table, I was like, there's no way he's going to do this.
Yeah.
And he sits on the turnbuckle. CM Punk. As you sit there, as uncomfortable as possible, I'm like, no way.
Yeah, that was incredible. That might have single-handedly, along with R-Truth. So not single-handedly.
Yes, but
might have saved the Cena tour.
It saved this whole Punk Cena thing because we've been kind of looking at garbage for the past 2 weeks, if I'm going to be honest with you. I was hoping for better out of this.
Mm.
But I was very...
You can't always get what you want, unfortunately.
Yeah, no.
I hate that.
This was a good... Ooh. A nice little nugget. A nice little surprise that I don't think anybody was expecting.
Oh, not at all.
And I'm very happy about it.
Mm. And it's got millions of views. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. But the whole issue right now is that he's still presented as a heel.
Yeah.
And everyone's cheering for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's never going to change, I feel like.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what you said, where it's like if they had never presented like Cena as like a retirement tour, where it's just like he actually came back and had another dominant run.
Yeah.
Like people would be actually like more into him being a heel and like being like, oh, fuck you for all these things. Screw you for all those things you're saying. And, you know, like, how do I say this? It's been, I feel like this has been a tough retirement tour, and
It's been very tough, and it's been very critical. He's been doing a good
job lately, I feel like, of kind of reviving it, especially with the R-Truth storyline and everything there, still there.
Well, the thing is,
and
then
the pipe bomb on CM Punk. Like, I feel like he's brought intrigue back into it. There's some heat. Everyone's like, oh, all right, cool.
Well, just in time for the beginning of the summer.
Yo, we might get a summer of Cena.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is that ever since this got announced, this whole retirement tour got put under a microscope.
Yes.
And everybody watched every little move. And everybody's going to have something to say about everything. And if it's not perfect, you're going to hear about it. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's been very underwhelming and very just not what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
We start off with Randy versus Cena. That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to R-Truth versus Cena. Yes, that kind of, I've expressed my emotions on that. I am very, very not pleased with how they did that. But at the same time, now I understand it a little bit more because it's turned out to be a pretty interesting storyline.
Yes.
But now we're starting to get into the nitty gritty. We got how many months left? Six?
Yeah. How many appearances though?
6 months left. Yeah. Though. I don't remember how many appearances.
15, maybe.
I don't remember how many appearances.
No.
We're running short is what, basically, any way you slice it, we're running short. Mm. We're running short. We still have to do a couple different things here with this at the end of the day. Cena has to, one, drop the title.
Mm. Okay.
Two, somehow get turned back into a baby face, which won't be hard to do.
No, not at all.
And
not hard at all.
I mean, three, he's going to have to give his emotional goodbye at some point, which obviously will be done probably in his last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Boston.
Mm-hmm.
There probably won't be a dry eye in the room.
No. I won't be.
I will cry.
I'll
probably
be a mess.
I said it from the beginning. I don't know how we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling with this idea of why did we do this in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody believes it. Nobody's buying it. And nobody even thinks it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's where I'm going to leave it at because I'm kind of... WWE... We took a month off and it still, I feel like it's gotten worse.
It still sucks. I don't think so.
No, I don't. I personally think that it's gotten worse and you're going to agree with me on this one.
Oh, I know I will.
TKO is part of the reason that this is going downhill.
Absolutely.
And it's because we're putting too many brainiac fucking rocket scientists in one room with all great ideas and we're trying to shove them all down your throat all at once.
Yep.
You need to have structure. You need to plan this out. If WWE's smart, they take in December. When you do those 2 weeks of recording time for all the talent to go away so they can go home and spend time with their families on Christmas, within those 2 weeks, with that week of buffer time that you have where you're going to run a taped show so you don't have to worry about being at an arena that week, I want all of them sitting in a meeting room for a week.
Right.
And planning a full year's worth of wrestling. Obviously, there's going to be changes.
Storylines, yes.
Obviously, there's going to be changes because time off.
Right.
I'm sure there's probably a structure like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But it needs to get better then because some of the shit that they've been dishing out to us sucks. just straight up sucks.
Well, like for me, you know me, I love tag. I love the tag team division.
So do I.
And it's like, why, like they can't do anything. Why hasn't New Day defended the tag titles in forever?
Yeah.
What happened to this? Like I feel like SmackDown's lost their fucking gusto with their tag teams too. I've always been a SmackDown guy. Well, that's the thing. Me too. They were always awesome. Their tag teams were always fun, right? Like, yeah. dude, remember when they had Undertaker and Kane as Brothers of Destruction running around there? Yeah. Like, holy moly.
Just
freaking Crime Time. It was, you know, Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
Batista and Ray. Like, there were so many good teams.
The Great American Tag Team.
Yeah. Festus and Jesse.
Okay.
Biscuits and Gravy.
Okay. Now you're pushing it. Yeah, that's right. I'm sitting crisscross.
Oh, my God.
My feet smell horrible right now.
I was wondering if that was your feet or mine.
I apologize. I've been sweaty.
No, that's okay. It's very hot. We are in the middle of a heat wave.
If you look behind Evan, I don't know if you could see it. The AC is behind Evan, but we had to turn it off.
So yeah, because you actually wouldn't be able to hear me.
Yeah, so you can actually hear Evan. Doesn't sound like he's in a wind tunnel.
This is what it would have sounded like if we had actually done this the whole time. All right, so what do you think of Night of Champions having no champions at all? Or actually, what, we're getting two title fights on Night of Champions?
I'm listening. This is my first time hearing it. It literally sounds like you're in a wind
tunnel.
Is it
Night of Champions? What happened to the champions? We have two championship matches on the Night of Champions.
All right, turn that shit off. Ah, cooled it down for a minute.
It did feel good.
Yes, but...
Yeah, it was around the back of my neck. Anyway, that's a legit question. Why the fuck does the WWE not have, like, more than two championship matches on the Night of Champions?
Like I just said, Evan, we suck.
No, like, what do we have to do with it? It's not we. Fumble. It's not even we anymore. It's TKO. Everybody is rioting, and TKO is just like, yeah, we'll take
They're
this.
They're sponsoring tables now.
Yeah, Slim Jim.
I hate it.
Snap through a table with Slim Jim. Yeah. I'm doing what he said. I can't. My voice is like too scratchy now.
Yeah, mine too. Recovering from sickness.
Excuse me. Sorry, that was really gross.
Evan, I'm going to leave the wrestling portion of this
Nick, what is the current state of wrestling right now?
The current state of wrestling is what we've been saying
since
we started this fucking podcast.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-card and tag team titles need to be defended more often and need more publicity and better matches.
Yes.
And need to be used better.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the same four guys in the title picture.
Yep.
And we need to plan more interesting storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my top four. Those are what I'm going to stick with. And if you don't like that, we got two words for you.
Suck it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Evan.
That was very good. That was very good.
Yes.
My closing points. I think they took the title off Jey Uso just to give Goldberg one more fight for a title.
I'm listening to you.
I think that Stone Cold is going to come back for a fight at WrestleMania. And I miss Liv Morgan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. After this small break, we will be discussing and introducing the next portion in the next evolution of Missing the Mark.
Missing the Mark.
Missing the Mark. Before we get into this, I do have a quick PSA sponsorship, semi-sponsorship, I guess. My name's Nicholas Osbemeyer. I live in Scotia, New York, and I raise money for type 1 diabetes. This Wiffle Ball bat is not just for a playful thing. This is used to help slam type 1 diabetes. I raise money to go away to a charity tournament where we play professional wiffle ball at four replica MLB stadiums in the middle of Vermont to raise money for type 1 diabetes and help people in need for type 1 diabetes.
That's good stuff, man.
My request from you, the fans, is we're going to put a link in the podcast, and
somehow
we're going to figure it out. All I need you to do is click it. Donate. Anything helps. 5, 10, 20, 30. If you're feeling generous.
Yeah. How froggy you feeling?
However froggy you're feeling. My goal is $650. I'm looking to exceed that by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that unless you, yes, you,
the viewer
helps me. And this isn't for me. This isn't a scam. This is for people that I love, for people that Evan loves,
mm-hmm.
to help them get better treatment for type 1 diabetes. So please click. They're due in August. I will say this every week, but please donate. Only you can help type 1 diabetes.
Amen.
Anyways.
That was beautiful, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Evan. Back on a lighter note.
All right. Yeah. All right. We're back.
What's the guy's
We're
name?
We're back. We're
What's
back.
The guy's
We're
name? Back. God damn it.
Say it.
No, I'm trying to think. Who was the... who... Oh. Dun, 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 dun. Ray Ferraro here. I'm chilling right now. So, this is the other half. This is the new Missing the Mark podcast, man, where we talk our two favorite sports, and this is how we're going to do it, kids. I'm going to set a 10-minute timer, and Evan here is going to educate us, and I will obviously talk when needed. I don't know much about hockey.
Right.
Evan is going to educate us about what is going on around the league, what's going on around the NHL, and we're each going to get 10 minutes to talk about our favorite sports, what's going on around the league, and we're going to discuss it. So, Evan, don't rush, but please tell me what's going on around the league.
All right, so we obviously saw a couple things happen last week. Obviously, everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. Who Stanley won? Cup final.
Oh yeah,
Stanley Cup final.
Who won those?
We had another Panthers Oilers show. It was another Oilers collapse. It was another Panthers triumph.
Somebody needs to study Florida.
Yeah, I don't please. Know what's going on down there. And I mean, it's such a
somebody
good destination.
Get Connor McDavid out of fucking Edmonton, please.
Well, you know what? What makes me think about, so this is something that I always think about, the NHL. So obviously these guys go to Florida for a reason.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's warm down there 24/7, right? Yeah. They can go out, golf, leave, do that whole thing.
Yeah.
My intrigue, my thing with that always was like, why the hell wasn't Phoenix a more popular destination before they had to move to Utah? That was always something that annoyed me. That's not like a question you have to answer. I'm going to answer because I don't know, but it annoys the hell out of me because okay. I would have loved to like if I were a professional hockey player and the Phoenix Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes came to me and they're like, hey man, I'm going to give you $4 million a year to play hockey here for
in Arizona.
For 5 years for, in Arizona.
I'm in.
Dry. You get to go, what, leave, and guess what you get to do?
Play golf.
I can't talk. Guess what you get to do? Yeah, go play golf. You get to go, you know, maybe ride a bike, go for a hike after practice.
Swim in a pool.
Granted, the season, they're probably not golfing.
No, but
like, there's intrigue to the spot. There's intrigue. That was always just something that irked me. And that just popped in my head. And that's something I was just going to throw out there.
How is it, Evan? You can maybe answer this for me. How is it that teams that, like, all right, this is going to sound weird.
Okay.
How are more Canadian teams not winning? Because Canada is the birth of hockey.
Yes. Yeah.
What are we losing, or what's not happening in Canada to make them not win?
Like, so what I've
I know
read
that sounds
online,
like very stereotypical.
No, like what I've read online is like a lot of like people talking about like government policies and like taxes and all that stuff. Apparently it's like pretty brutal compared to what it is here in America. I don't know it. I don't know if that's very true. That's literally just stuff that I read online. And then, you know, it's probably just, again, not as intriguing as, you know, what sounds better, Tampa, Florida or Calgary, Alberta in the middle of January.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I mean, if you're a diehard hockey fan, you're going to say Calgary, you know, every time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
definitely.
I'd say. I mean, I would kill to, you know, live in a city like
if
that
I were
and just
pick,
be able to go
if
to,
if I were
like,
to pick anywhere to play hockey.
It'd be incredible.
And this is not even a Canadian place, but I consider it Canadian for some reason.
Minnesota.
Minnesota or Milwaukee.
It. God damn it.
Because yep. It always snows.
Yep.
And it's just like Canada. And it's on the border of Canada.
Yeah, you're hugging it. You're hugging Canada.
So, like, if I had to go anywhere, that would be it.
Yeah.
I'm a Blackhawks fan, so I'm sad all the time.
No, you poor
and
thing.
The last thing that I got excited about was Connor Bedard, and we're going to waste that talent and ship him off somewhere good.
Listen, dude, trust me, the Blackhawks are going to be good due time. They just need to develop those young guys, give them 3 years, 4 years. They might be an insane hockey team.
I'm still waiting.
I told my roommates in college, like, 3 years ago, I told him Detroit was going to be nasty the next 4 to 5 years. So hopefully, Polstradamus comes over here and says, hey, well, I'm actually Polstradamus. Polstradamus predicts that maybe the Detroit Red Wings are back. Detroit Red Wings are going to be back next season. Anyway, going to go circle back to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, don't know what we could do with Connor McDavid. He's having a real hard time there in Edmonton. I mean, you can see the frustration in, you know, every interview with every player that's out there.
I feel terrible for him, though, because this guy is
generational. This is the best player of our generation.
Yes.
Hands down.
And his talents are being wasted in Edmonton right now.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because that team on paper.
Yeah.
Should be a good team, just like Evan's gonna love this one. The Toronto Maple Leafs should have won 5 Stanley Cups by now.
Yes, they should have.
Wasted potential, wasted talent. Austin Matthews and
Mitch Marner, and William Nylander.
Yeah.
I mean, they have
not a
half
big hockey
decent
guy, but I know.
You know,
I know the basics.
I'm not impressed with their defense. That's always
no,
been my thing with
like,
them.
That's another team.
You know who?
That's another. The Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
On paper, just like the Oilers.
Yeah.
Should be a solid team.
Yep.
Led by solid coaching.
Yeah.
Led by solid. Just
absolutely. There's a lot of teams you could say that about too. That's the hard part. You know, like there's the good teams that are just like they can't get to the playoffs. Then there are like the good teams with good players that couldn't do anything. Like the Rangers, you're talking about. Nashville, bro, they signed Steven Stamkos from the Lightning. They got all these guys.
Good old Stammy.
And they just, I think they had like the longest losing streak to start a season ever this year. And you're just like, all right, like, what are we doing? These poor guys are getting shafted. And, you know, it's not even like there was a bad coach there either. I don't know what's going on there, but that's also just part of the game, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess. But like at the same time, it's like.
When you were watching that series, sorry, go.
What? When is enough enough?
Yeah. So, what, like, that's my thing. Like, when I was watching the series,
yeah.
You're watching it, and I felt like Draisaitl and McDavid were doing everything that they fucking could to, you know, try
push
to win.
Puck,
and it seemed, it just, you know, like, nobody on the Oilers, it just seemed like nobody on the Oilers were really, like, on the same page. The goaltending was pretty brutal. You know, they let up more than 4 goals in, what, 3-4 games? It's kind of like, you know, you got to look at the goaltending maybe. I don't think they have that caliber goaltender. Yeah. You know, it's these guys aren't bad. Calvin Pickard's a good goalie. I forget who their other goalie is off the top of my head. But that's just not a guy you rely on. You rely on a guy like, you know, you go out and get yourself, you know, an Ilya Sorokin from the Islanders. Granted, if the Islanders gave up Ilya Sorokin, I would, especially to a team like the Oilers or the Maple Leafs, I might never watch Islanders hockey ever again. But
that's fair.
They need to get. I think Edmonton is actually like one stud goalie away from being good,
so
and a couple defensemen.
This is my thing. I'm gonna tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Edmonton has a decently young team, do they?
Like Evan Bouchard's a young player. I guess like up their middle, like Nugent Hopkins is getting older. Freaking McDavid isn't, you know, a spring chicken anymore. He's probably 29, 30.
And he's still one of the best, if the best player in the NHL right now.
He definitely is. Yeah. Records, him and McKinnon, you know, it's those two.
So
he's probably a little younger than 30, actually.
Here's my thing. With that being said, obviously, the Panthers win the Stanley Cup. We look forward.
Very much so.
You were just saying it. They need younger guys. Mm-hmm. They need their one good goalie away.
Mm-hmm.
The NHL's draft is how far away?
It's next week, I believe. It is June 27th.
All right, so that would be Friday.
Next Friday.
No, this Friday.
This Friday. Yeah, because we're recording this on June 25th.
So two days away.
The more you know. So we're actually 2 days away from the NHL draft. So me, as an Islanders fan, I'm very excited to see what we do. The rumor mills have been going pretty crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance, the rumors are Islanders can move up and get a second top five pick. There's rumors we can move on from Dobson. There's rumors that we're looking at Paterka. Looks like there's rumors that I read the Bruins are looking at Paterka. There are guys that want, there's crazy shit going on, and this is just all pre-draft trade buzz. This is what it is. You might see a couple, restricted free agents get dealt. You're going to see a lot of picks go. It's just going to be this kind of it's just going to be rumor. It's literally just going to be rumor. They're all rumors. And that's why I try not to buy into it.
Mm.
There's some that are, a little more
notable than others.
Not notable, but they have a little more merit to them than others, especially with Noah Dobson. That's a sketchy situation with the Islanders right now. It's like people want. Here's my thing with the Islanders fans. Love them. We traded away Devin Toews to the Avalanche a couple of years ago during COVID. Right? Okay. Lou's hands were tied. He had no money left in the cap. He's like, I got to trade this guy. We got a second round pick. I don't even know if we used that pick. If we did, I don't even know who we got. Besides that point, we sat here and they threw this riot of why didn't we get more out of that? Why didn't we get more out of that?
Mm.
And now we have this guy, Noah Dobson, who's younger, better, has way more potential than Devin Toews. And I'm not saying Devin Toews is a bad player. He's fucking insanely good.
Mm.
But you have a kid who's 22, 23, 24 right now. I forgot how old he is.
Yeah.
And, you got to sign a kid like him to a higher end long-term contract because if you get him at $11 million, that contract is going to look really good in 6 years, because, the salary cap is rising. Salary cap is definitely going to be moving up. So you start to lock in these younger guys. So and that's what they're realizing. These younger guys are like, hey, you signed me to a long-term contract. I'll play for you. I'll stay here, but you got to believe in me. I'm investing, you're investing in me basically. Yeah. That's the whole thing. This is not an NFL thing where it's you can pick a guy out of the draft and just plug him into your starting lineup. The NHL is the polar opposite of that. Yeah. Same thing with the NBA.
I beg to differ on that end because Connor Bedard picked it up real quick.
Well, yes. Yeah.
There's certain guys that can pick it up quick and just go.
Right. You probably get a handful. You probably get 15, 20 guys at sea ice.
I was just using that as an example because that's looking back.
Mm.
I watched hockey for a full season the year the Nashville Predators did something.
They went to the Stanley Cup.
And then the year that the Caps finally got it done.
That was awesome, actually.
I was on the tail end of a Blackhawks Stanley Cup in 2016.
You're a happy fella.
I was a very happy fella. I had Jonathan Toews. I had Patty Kane. Those were my boys.
Jonathan Toews signed back in the NHL with Winnipeg Jets. 2 year deal.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
After a 2 year hiatus, he disappeared. Really? Yeah. COVID. He had COVID symptoms and had to go away for 2 years.
Jonathan Toews. I love him. That's the man. But Patrick Kane was my guy.
He's the man also.
Was the man.
Showtime, baby. Showtime.
Showtime.
Shohei Ohtani.
When I'll get into him later. Don't you ever say visible, that name.
Visible rage.
Damn it. So when I got the notification that he got traded to the Red Wings, I was sad because my thought was, is that the Blackhawks weren't a bad team still.
Right.
You had Taves. Yeah, he's getting towards the end. But you're bringing in these new guys that could do something. And then COVID happens. Mm. Taves disappears off the face of the earth. And the Blackhawks become one of the top three worst teams in the NHL.
Yep.
This is my thing, is that I'm not a hockey guy. I don't watch every puck drop. See, I know that one compared to soccer. and I don't... I can't catch myself sitting down and watching hockey. Yeah. And no, this is going to change this.
I agree.
But my thing with the Blackhawks is that it, with this draft coming up, I don't know any of these guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about any of these new guys. This is all I'm going to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
We need two things. We need defensive players that can... Mm-hmm. Block pucks, get in front of, get boards, clear the puck easily, and just not leave wide open shots all over the ice.
Right.
And then
I agree.
We need I'm not going to say a better goalie.
Mm.
We need a goalie.
You could definitely use a goalie.
We could use a goalie that at least can
so
get more saves out of the.
Yeah.
Get more saves.
Yeah. So here's the problem with wanting to get a defenseman in this draft, right? Blackhawks have the third pick. This is not a defensive heavy draft. Like, so we're looking like, so the Islanders, it's looking like they're going to take Michael Misa, excuse me. Oh God, what's his name? Sorry, I got to look right here.
You're fine.
Matthew Schaefer.
Okay.
All right. Defenseman.
Yep.
Great player. He's been getting like Cale Makar comparisons, you know, like very well respected player. All that stuff. That's sort of the consensus number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily what the Islanders might take. The Islanders aren't they don't have the worst situation, I would say, on defense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we have Pulak, Pelech. Yes, they're getting older and they're regressing a little bit. But you got Romanov, you have Dobson, you have a young group of... And again, you have a
young second and third line that could take over that first line.
Exactly. And so, but that's the thing. Like, if you throw Schaefer in there, like, that's just going to be another... And then, you know, maybe if he becomes good in 3 years, we can trade away another guy and be like, all right, and we give him this money.
Get another stud or another progressive player that we can train and mold.
So, with the Blackhawks, though, the problem is that he's, like, one of the only top defensemen that might go in the top 10.
See,
you know, so other than you're going to have to reach and find another guy like Taves. You find that two-way defender that can, you know, he's like your power forward. Yes. He can go in and battle for the puck on the boards, get behind the net, make passes out to the front, be your playmaker. But you also need that guy who can get back on defense. He can cover your defensive ass because the defense isn't all that great. Now, they have great prospects, especially Kevin Korchinski. He's fucking nuts.
Is he?
He's so good.
Right.
He's good. He's going to be good.
That's the thing is I look at a team not knowing anything about hockey.
Mm.
And when you're getting blown out most games,
it's hard to watch.
It only not knowing anything about hockey, not watching a single minute of it.
Bug.
All you can think of is, well, if you're getting blown out, there's a defensive problem there.
Right.
Yes, offense is going to come, mm-hmm. but you need to be able to get the puck in order to play offense.
Exactly.
And if you can't keep the puck on your side of the ice, then you got a problem.
Right.
And that's that's all that I don't know. Well, Evan, I'm going to let you take
that's the thing, because it's more like, you know, you still need your offense to come in and play defense, right? So it's a little more of these, like, you know, I don't want to call them prima donnas, but these guys who, you know, They're you know,
they only care about their offense zone heroes.
They only want their shooting stats and their goal stats to go up, and they couldn't care to play defense. Now, hopefully, these guys in the NHL, I believe they are, and I'm not saying they are. I completely believe that they are like have this ingrained, you know, that's what I'm looking for here. Whatever, this ingrained thing that you have to play both sides of the puck. You know, hockey isn't, you know, it's not like attack or soccer where there's a, you know, it's not like the hockey where there's an attack or soccer or anything like that. You know, it's not like where it's like you there. Like, so lacrosse, right? There's an attack, right? And you can't go over the half line if, you know, the certain offense and defense, right? But hockey, it's like you have a position, but you're sort of positionless, if that makes any sense.
The
right wing, you know, they have different responsibilities. You play offense and
defense, so you're expected to play both sides of the ball.
Different responsibilities, but yes, in the end, you are playing offense and defense. If you're not playing one, like, you're going to be ineffective on the other.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't even be able to do the other.
Yes.
You know?
No, definitely.
So it's just like nasty.
Yeah. So
nasty.
With pivoting on all this, Evan, I want you to give me just your guesstimation on your top five. Who's going top five?
Who's going top five?
So I want not team by team, just what players pick your top five players that are getting drafted.
Oh, absolutely. I got my list right here.
Go ahead.
All right. So as I said, number one is going to be Matthew Schaefer. Incredible puck mover. He's a lanky, tall, good player.
Mm-hmm.
Can move the puck, can shoot as a defenseman. What more could you want?
Mm-hmm.
Literally just insane player. He's probably going to go number one. And honestly, from what I've been reading, it sounds like the top three are pretty interchangeable. So the next one here is Michael Misa, center, plays for the Saginaw Spirit. And
I'm sorry, that was
this is gonna be
that
fun.
That was a funny name.
This is gonna be fun teaching Nick all the names of the junior hockey teams. By the way, Matthew Schaefer plays for the Erie Otters.
Oh, awesome. I love that name.
Yes. All right, but Saginaw Spirit, storied franchise. Michael Misa, very good player. Kind of another player. So here's my thing with the Islanders. Islanders have always been looking for a player lately. Fans have been begging for an actual goal scorer, right? We have a lot of good players. We have a lot of guys who get down there.
Don't have that main guy,
like,
though.
We have Matt Barzal, right? He's a great player. He's one of the best players in the league, I'd say.
Barzy, baby.
Bro, he's disgusting.
I love that guy.
The fact he has no supporting cast, right? You stick him on a line with Bo Horvat. Bo Horvat's not a sniper, right? He's good, right? You lost Brock Nelson to fucking Colorado. He re-signed. Everyone's pipe dream of, oh, he might not re-sign. Colorado is going to go to the Stanley Cup, at least go to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the next 3 years. Islanders are still looking kind of cloudy money. They don't know where they're going. Yeah. Right? We have a new GM, though, which is awesome. But this is sort of a guy that would also fit the bill. And honestly, the top three would fit the bill, too. Very good player. Kind of that two-way guy looking for, like a Taze.
Yeah.
Maybe he might fall to you with the three. You never know.
That'd be ideal. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
So, yeah, number three is James Higgins. Now, this is the Islanders' pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Hoppog, Long Island.
What was that?
Born in Hoppog, Long Island. I think that's how you say it.
Jesus.
Shout out Donnie. I think that's how you say it. Hoppog, Hoppig, something weird like that.
Anyway,
grew up an Islanders fan, has verbally expressed his, you know,
love.
His interest to, you know, his former love as a player or as a kid and, you know, being an Islanders fan and all that stuff. He said it would definitely be very cool to win a cup there.
Yep.
And so you're kind of like, damn, wow, it would be so badass to bring home the hometown kid, number one overall pick.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, hey, hell yeah. But. I don't know. I just sort of see I just see the Islanders taking their chance on another defenseman. We're a defensive minded team. We've always been defensive. Like, we're the most boring team to watch in hockey. It's been labeled by everybody. We're the most boring team to watch because we're just going to sit there. We're going to let you, you know, come in, dump the puck, and then we're just going to beat you up on the boards, and then we're going to freaking get it back, bring it down, beat you on the boards on your end, and then just get a scrappy goal and beat you 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it worked for a little while, but yeah. everyone's like advancing. Yeah. Everyone's getting these high end players that are fast and speedy and can play. So,
yeah,
it's pretty frustrating. But anyway, James Higgins, great player, Boston College product.
Ooh, BU.
Yeah. BC.
BC, sorry.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. Boston. I'll give it to you. All right. Number four. We got.
If there is one thing, not to cut you off, there is one thing I know about hockey, Boston's the way to be.
Boston's always a decent place to be.
Anyways, continue.
All right. So next here we got Porter Martone.
Whoa.
Sick name. Sick name.
Czech Republic.
No. Canadian.
Damn.
Plays for Brampton.
Brampton.
I forgot the name of that team, so I'm going to look it up real quick.
Okay.
I think it's like the Frontenacs or something.
The
like
Frontenacs.
That. Brampton.
Solid. So just to put this in perspective, guys, after this, we're going to swing it over and we're going to talk some. We're going to talk some baseball. So stay tuned after that. After Evan and I get done with hockey discussion for a little bit of baseball.
Porter Martone plays for the Brampton Steelheads.
I hate that name.
After a fish.
I hate that name.
Anyway, incredible winger. Big old guy. He can get in there, fight for a puck, finish, shoot. Incredible player.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that I wouldn't mind seeing the Islanders take. Also, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's very good. And then number five, we got our first European off the board.
Oh,
Anton Frondel.
France.
No, France is actually not a very good hockey country.
Okay. Czech Republic.
No, close. He is Swedish, I believe.
Okay, that makes more sense.
He plays for Djurgården's IF.
Sure.
Djurgården. Yeah.
Djurgården's.
Djurgården, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, to be honest with you, I don't know too much about him. So, this is the little thing I got here on him.
Mm-hmm.
High IQ European center with a strong transitional play. Scouts suggest a smarter two-way Artemi Panarin with excellent puck vision and hockey sense.
Sounds like a Blackhawk to me, baby.
That sounds like he could be a Blackhawk. That could be right up your alley. A nice center.
Two-way player. I heard the word two-way player. I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Exactly.
I, like you said.
You need
two ways.
You need them. Yeah. See, like with the Islanders, we do need a goal scorer because everybody is two-way on the Islanders.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a problem sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes they just can't score, make a pass.
Yep.
Also, shout out Matt Martin. Retired today. Islanders legend. Played for them for all but 3 years.
Damn.
And it was sick because we had Barry Trotz as our GM, and then we traded him to Toronto, where Lou was the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Lou left Toronto a couple years later, came to the Islanders, brought back Matt Martin to Long Island. So Matt Martin has been there ever since.
Got it.
So he's been with the Islanders is pretty much his entire career. I want to say, like, what the hell is that? Oh, it's a fuzzy. Might be Belly Lint. He's been on that team for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I love him. He's one of my favorite players ever. I need a jersey. And, yeah, Matt Martin, have fun banging Boomer Esiason's wife. I mean, daughter.
Boomer. Anyways, Evan. That was NHL talk. That was beautiful.
I think that was some pretty good NHL talk.
That was great Chell talk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see if those top five go top five.
I doubt it, but we'll see. Maybe I'm Polstradamus.
Who knows?
Damn.
So. Son of a bitch.
Son of a gun.
All right. That actually kind of works perfectly.
That did work perfectly. Anyway, that's the end of it.
Yeah. Technical difficulties. That's what we love. Evan steps on things and doesn't realize that. So, to continue, that was great NHL talk.
Incredible. Now, that was very good.
We talk some MLB.
Some MLB, the base.
The base of balls.
Yo, oh no.
The base of Evan's balls.
All right, Nick. So, what do you... How would you like to start your baseball discussion? Do we just talk about your New York Yankees? You want to talk about the fucking home run derby?
What here's what I want to talk about.
What are you talking about? We're talking about fucking baseball.
So, as we're recording this right now, the Yankees are playing the Reds.
Yes.
I want to discuss a little something about what happened last night at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. Or, not at Yankee Stadium, but during the game. So, the Yankees. I don't get it. The Yankees. Jazz Chisholm gets called on a ball.
Jazz Chisholm.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Jazz Chisholm gets called low.
Can't help it.
Gets called on a low strike. He ends up striking out. And gets ejected from the game after arguing with an umpire. I get notification while Evan's talking about the top five draft picks. Jazz Chisholm just hit a two-run bomb.
Oh, baby.
It makes me feel good. But this is what I wanted to talk about with the Yankees. I'm not going to sit here and act like the Yankees are the perfect franchise. Mm-mm. They're not.
No.
Because what the Yankees like to do is a little something called cause me heart attack problems. Last night, the Yankees went up 3-0 on the Reds. And going into the seventh or the eighth, we let up three runs. Shocker. Okay.
Surprise,
extra innings. That's cool. Jazz gets ejected in the eighth. So, all of a sudden, Michael Kay reads out a stat stating that the Yankees are 36 in extra innings on the road.
Oh.
We can't close the door.
And that's not good.
I like to tell everybody this. The Yankees can't just lose. We have to lose in the most dramatic fashion possible.
It always happens that way.
So what happens?
What happened?
The Yankees get the bases loaded, two outs, and Aaron Judge pops up to the infield.
Atta girl, fudge.
And then what happens? And we leave Mark Leiter out there, who had been struggling the whole inning. And then what do we do? This is what I get frustrated about, because the Yankees continually do this, and I don't blame just Aaron Boone. I blame the pitching coach too, Matt Lake. Guy,
girl.
Where you see a pitcher struggling, Evan, pull him out of the game.
Yeah, he's probably not having a good time, straight up.
So, Evan's going to have more fun on this because Evan doesn't know shit about baseball.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I said I know the strategies.
So this is the thing.
Pitching style, you take them out. I feel like they could potato, potato.
This is the thing. Is that I've watched the Yankees time and time again let pitchers go out there and it's a close game. They walk two batters. Okay. Then they let up a run. Okay. There should be a short leash on that. Yeah, if you want to win baseball games, you shouldn't be leaving guys out there after letting up a run to struggle and try to find the zone. I get it. You're trying to save arms in the bullpen. If it's a close game, you need to have a backup plan if something like this happens. Mark Leiter went out there and looked dominant in the ninth inning. And what does he do in the tenth inning? He walks the first three batters.
Oh, no.
Or the first two batters. Walks the bases loaded to let... I don't even know this. I don't even know who hit it. Hits a bloop single into the field, into center field. Why is Mark Leiter out there after walking the first batter? Because in my eyes, you walk a batter in that situation, you shouldn't be pitching. You could tell he's struggling. He can't find the zone. He threw four straight. Get him out of there.
That is
tough. I get it. It's only June, as everybody likes to remind me, because I take Yankees baseball seriously. Because the last time the Yankees won a World Series was 2009. I was five.
That's
five.
Wild.
One, two, three, four, five.
I was eight.
I don't remember the Yankees winning the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I do.
The Yankees... The last time we started becoming good in 2017, and that's when Aaron Judge became Aaron Judge, obviously. Mm-hmm. From then on, I've had high expectations for this team. I've had high hopes for this team.
Every year.
Last year put me over the edge.
Yep,
because
Notre Dame football.
Last year, this team was a solid group of guys. Yes, we had our flaws. Like, we had older players that mm-hmm. shouldn't have been in those situations. People that should have been used but didn't get used, obviously. I'm looking at Marcus Stroman, who refused to come out of the bullpen, even Ooh. Though should have been used in the bullpen. Oh, because no. I want him traded at the deadline, personally, because he is nothing but a locker room problem. Yes, he enjoys pitching and everything like that. Mm-hmm. He just got shelled in the minors, let up 10 runs in a rehab Yikes. Assignment. This guy isn't what he used to be. He used to be a lights out Cy Young potential pitcher.
Right.
It's gone downhill since. And Marcus Stroman, I got nothing but love for you, but it's either time to hang it up or we need to venture somewhere else, because we can't win ball games with pitchers that are either on or they're off.
Yeah.
We need consistency.
Right.
Ryan Yarbrough has been lights out for this team lately.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to see that he got injured, but Ryan Yarbrough was our eighth starting pitcher in the lineup,
Oof.
In the pitcher's line, made his way due to injuries into the five role, and has been one of our best pitchers. Granted, it could just be a one-time deal like Luis Hill, who hasn't seen the field Good all times. Season due to injury after coming off of the Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. You got to heal.
Right.
Get it? You got to heal. Luis Hill. Anyways. But my last... His last name is Gil, but they pronounce a heel. So he's got a heel.
Yeah, so when you said Gil, I was like...
Yeah. So...
Aha.
My ending statement with the Yankees is that I'm happy that Jazz did what he did. He regrouped. He is locked in for today. Today's game. But in the future, the Yankees need to start not just using pitchers more effectively, but like if some guy's struggling at the plate, for instance, I love Anthony Volpe.
Mm-hmm.
It's his sophomore season, I believe. And as everybody knows, the sophomore slump is a thing.
Yeah.
My thing with this is that Anthony Volpe went 0-27 at the plate. And
yikes.
With him being a younger guy, yes, like you have games? To get him used to big situations and stuff like that. When you're struggling in big situations, don't keep putting him in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he had a big grand slam in the World Series, and everyone thought he could handle the pressure.
Good times.
Yes, great times. We lost. Fuck you, Shohei Ohtani. That's all I got to say about that.
Croy.
But...
Shohei Ohtani.
Why keep putting him in a situation where he... You can tell he's uncomfortable, and you can tell he's trying. He wants to do it. It's not like it's just a lack of trying. If anything, he's trying too hard. Because...
To what?
To drive in that run. And try to be that guy. Because, I mean, granted, you're in the same spot Jeter was. You have a lot
high expectations.
You have a lot of high expectations. The year that Jeter retired, the following year, we had Didi Gregorius there. Yeah. Didi got booed.
Yep.
Because he was expected to be the next Derek Jeter. And nobody is going to be Derek Jeter. So stop holding that standard.
Right.
Anthony Volpe is a great baseball player. He's a great defensive player. Yes, he has errors. Everybody has errors. Yep. It's not just Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe can hit for singles, doubles. He needs to be a leadoff guy. I don't know why they stick him down in the sixth spot where, yeah, maybe in those later games he can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Put LeMahieu down in the sixth spot.
Okay.
Put Wells... up in the sixth spot. He can hit in the high pressure situations. Anthony Volpe struggled. Oh, Cameron just fucking died. Anyways, it doesn't matter. That is what it is. Anthony Volpe struggles.
You keep going.
Anthony Volpe struggles in these high situations. Watch out for the cord.
I know.
Why keep putting him in him?
I don't know.
Just just let him stick him in a different spot in the lineup. Or if that situation comes and he seems like he's uncomfortable, sub him out, give him some space, do something. Because the thing is that he gets up there and he swings out of his shoes. He's looking to hit, make first pitch contact. There's the camera.
It's back on.
He's looking to make contact on the first pitch, and he's swinging so hard. Like, he just needs to settle down, stay within himself, and just push the ball. Push the ball where he needs to be.
Be the player he's supposed to be, but not try to be the player he's supposed to be.
He needs to be Anthony Volpe.
So, my question to you, is there a place you think... So, is the trade deadline passed or not?
No, trade deadline's still in full effect
right
now. Okay,
so... Is there a spot you think that the Yankees could improve upon if, like, this stuff doesn't go to plan? Or what's the weak link in the lineup, and where can, like, they actually...
It's not the weakest link in the lineup, because we have plenty of depth in the lineup. And this has been our problem for many years now, at least since my time as a Yankees fan. Bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Your relievers.
Our relievers... give me so much agita when they come in the game. Yes, I use that word.
I don't even know what that word is. Anxiety. I'm not even going to lie to you.
It's stress.
Is that like because, Spanish?
Yes. My mom used to say the word all the time.
Fair enough.
Because you got guys that like JT Brubaker. I don't even know who that guy is.
He sounds awesome.
He is a pretty effective pitcher.
Yeah.
But like Tim Hill. Great, great relief pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put him in the right spots sometimes, and he lets up home runs. He let up a home run to Ellie De La Cruz, who ended up sealing the game the last time.
Right.
Like, there's just certain things that I don't get why we do. Like, we call up these young talent, and yes, they need to get time in the MLB eventually, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're there for a reason.
Why bring them in and immediately just shove them on the mound? Like, put them in low-stress situations before you put them in high-stress situations.
Right.
That's my thought on it. So if there's anything we could trade for or anything we could do free agents-wise, it would be bullpen arms.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching arms in general, just for help, because we've had...
Well, who was the big closer that they got over the offseason that I thought?
Devin Williams. And yeah. Devin Williams has not panned out to its full potential yet. Yeah. And I'm not... There's no slack, because the Yankees have had a history of getting pitchers that are coming off Cy Young performances, supposed to be the next stud, mm-hmm. and flubbing them. My example that I use for everybody. Do you know who Sonny Gray is?
Yeah, I remember that name.
Sonny Gray.
Played for the A's.
Correct. Sonny Gray came from the A's mm-hmm. to the Yankees. And he was the next big thing in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Gray shit the bed with us. Of course. Shit the bed, 5 ERA, mm-hmm. like just couldn't get the job done.
Why?
And I guess rumors is that they were trying to get him to use certain pitches, and they were trying to change his pitching mechanics and stuff like that. So
that's actually crazy. Trying to tell him how to play.
Yes.
There's coaching, so, and then there's like control. That's
after
crazy.
After however long he was with the Yankees, he goes to the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
Cy Young.
Yep.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Starter, Cy Young for the Reds. How could we screw that up that much? Like, that's the thing.
They expect these guys to just come in and do what they want, I guess. That's terrible. That's the way it shouldn't be. Right? Like, you expect them to be at a level that they can perform at, obviously.
Yes,
a level
obviously.
That you need to be happy with.
A major league level.
Yeah. But to sit here and tell them, like, what pitches to throw, like, I know there's strategy and all that stuff with baseball, but, like, if you're going to tell a guy, an experienced player, to throw a certain pitch that he's not comfortable with throwing, there's no point of them throwing that.
Yeah.
That just fucks you in the end. That messes you up in the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no, like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
So...
That's weird.
That would be my big thing, because yes, we went out and I say this prematurely. Originally, our plan was to go get Juan Soto in the offseason.
Yep.
Hey, Juan Soto, I got news for you.
Hey, Chico.
eat a dick, pal. You didn't live up to the hype. You're now, you have worse numbers than you did last year. The Mets are spending way too much money on a wasted talent, pal. Right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So the thing with that is that last time the Yankees went out and had a plan A, and it didn't work out, they had plan B. Mm-hmm. And remember the last time they had plan B? Do you know who they signed when they got plan B?
They didn't have a baby.
Plan B turned out to be Mark Teixeira, AJ Burnett, and CC Sabathia, who later helped us get a World Series.
Yep. Where did Mark Teixeira play before?
Texas. He was a Texas Ranger.
CC was on the Indians, and then
Burnett, I forget. I think he came from the Pirates or something like that.
Yeah, checks out.
I was either way, A's. So Juan Soto didn't plan out.
Mm-hmm.
We had a plan B.
Yep.
We go out, we get Max Fried. We go out, we get Devin Williams. We go out and we get Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have done what they needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
As in, Max Fried is Cy Young worthy right now.
Right.
Devin Williams is finally figuring it out. I know what I said earlier. He's figuring it out slowly.
Mm-hmm.
He's developing it. Cody Bellinger looks like the old Cody Bellinger.
That's
Paul
cool.
Goldschmidt looks like the old Paul Goldschmidt of, like, Gold Glove Paul Goldschmidt, MVP Cody Bellinger. Like, these are guys that are getting up in age.
Damn, D-backs Goldschmidt?
Not even D-backs.
Rockies. So,
no. He didn't play for the Rockies.
Pirates.
No.
Oh.
Cardinals.
Fuck.
Goldschmidt.
Right. Fudge. I didn't know that. The more you know.
Bellinger, looking like Dodgers Bellinger. Mm-hmm. These are guys that, in hindsight, everyone laughed at us because they're like, oh, they're washed. They're not going to pan out. Paul Goldschmidt has made more plays in at first base than most of our first basemen have made in the past few years. Anthony Rizzo. I loved Anthony Rizzo.
Who did?
He was injury prone, though. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get out of his own way. He didn't go to foul territory and make a diving catch for a ball.
Yep.
I never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Concrete feet.
Yeah.
There was no effort. It was like it was like that Pirates guy that I just saw. I don't know. There was like a fly ball coming in. He fumbled it. It's like, whatever. You have that moment. Whatever. You drop the ball.
Yeah.
And it rolled away. And he just sat there and just watched it roll away.
Yeah.
I forgot that guy's name.
Players.
O'Neal Cruz,
yes.
And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, dude, I would have thrown my jersey on that field so fast.
Yeah, you're getting thrown out of that game.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting pulled from that.
I would have been pissed, but, yeah.
So, to get off the Yankees topic, basically what I'm saying is that with the trade deadline being closer than people actually think, we need to go out, we need to make moves. I'm happy with the team we have now, but we need just those few pieces.
Okay.
To settle.
Right.
Call up somebody, send somebody down. Specifically, I'm talking about J.C. Ascara. J.C. Ascara needs to be sent back down. I love J.C. Ascara. His story's beautiful. He was an Uber driver, and now he's an MLB player. He's mediocre.
Yeah.
He's a mediocre catcher. Ben Rice has been killing it at the catcher position, and he's been killing it at the plate. I love Ben Rice. He has great potential. Yes, he needs to calm down at the plate and stop swinging for home runs every time. But until then, I'm cool with Wells Rice. Mm-hmm. Granted, we keep Ascara for the right-handed bat.
Right.
But we can work with a left-handed bat if you bring a right-hander in a different spot in the field.
So I was about to say, is there strategy to like a lineup where like hitting like left and right like matters
depends
and all
on,
that stuff?
Yes. Depends on who's pitching. It depends on their stats, lefty to righty. It depends on the pitcher's stats. Like how are they versus right-hander pitchers compared to left-handed pitchers?
Right. So like if he gives up more home runs to a guy, like you might have him bat in like what, like third, fourth, fifth, that kind of thing?
It depends. Well, the top of our order normally stays the same.
Okay.
Because you got Bellinger, you got Goldschmidt, you got Judge, you got Stanton up there.
Okay.
Once you get down into like the 7, 8, 9 spot, that's where it kind of rotates a little bit. And sometimes the 6 spot, depending on who's pitching that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate what we've been doing lately. I don't hate everything like that. I just hate this.
I hate this idea that you're the best.
Yes.
Sorry.
I hate the pitch. I hate the way that the pitching has been dealt with. And it just needs to be changed.
I agree.
That's where I'm going to leave it.
There you go.
With that being said, the All-Star break is coming soon. Okay. And this is the Yankees players' favorite time of the year because the Yankees normally fall apart during the right before the All-Star break, which is very true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that we're actually like close to it, so that way I can get a rest and not feel like I need to yell at the TV all the time. So, with that being said, I'm just going to read some. I'm going to read right now as of June 23rd. It is June 25th.
Okay.
I'm going to read your top two for each line. Or I'll do top three for each position, American League and National League, for the All-Star voting.
Mm-hmm.
So, at first base, we got Vlad Jr. in first, Paul Goldschmidt in second, and Jonathan Arnauda in third.
Who's he play for?
So, those are all NL or AL East teams.
Okay.
You got the Blue Jays, you got the Yankees, and then you got the Rays.
Why?
So,
what is in my eye? Sorry.
That is a solid top three. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Vlad's going to play over Goldschmidt.
Yep.
Vlad's younger and kind of a stud. So
beast. He's a beast.
He is a beast. I'm shocked of how much he signed with the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays aren't
that rich.
Aren't that good. But at the same time, no, they're not very rich, and they're gonna be locked into him for a while, and that means they're gonna have to trade away some players and do some other stuff like Bo Bichette.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, Bo Bichette's gonna once his contract's up, they won't have the money to sign him,
mm-hmm.
and Bo Bichette's gonna be a hot free agent because Bo Bichette, even though he's cooled down in the past 2 years, is a very solid shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Second baseman, and he's good with a bat. So I don't hate this. Second base. This one pains me to read because of this first name. Gleyber Torres, Jackson Holliday, and Jose Altuve.
Wow.
I could give a fuck about Altuve.
Fuck Jose
good for
Altuve.
Jackson Holliday. Jackson Holliday struggled when he first got called up and then got sent back down. Now he's back up again and is starting to find his feet.
Well, obviously, he made an All-Star game. So
yes,
he's got a possibility
to make the All-Star game. But Gleyber Torres hurts my feelings because Gleyber Torres,
Yankees legend,
should have stayed a Yankee and we kind of fumbled. I know a lot of people did not like Gleyber Torres because he was a problem. He refused to do certain things and he was just
Labor.
He was kind of. It's kind of like the Rafael Devers situation where he refused to go to third and he only wanted to play second.
Professional. I hate that so much. I hate
it. Is what it is. But Gleyber Torres was a great bat,
mm-hmm.
and just a great atmosphere to have.
Why?
As a Yankee, and good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see him succeeding.
He looks happy and healthy. He's doing good.
Yes,
he's doing good.
So here's where I'm kind of shocked about this one. Granted, it's pretty close for third. So, Jacob Wilson.
Okay.
This is for shortstop. Jacob Wilson, Bobby Witt Jr., and Jeremy Pena. Now, I'm going to read the fourth one because the fourth one is Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette is down by, I'm horrible at math, about 150,000 votes.
Okay.
Not seems a lot on paper. It's not as much as people think.
That much, yeah.
Jacob Wilson has come into his own this past year.
With who?
He is with the Athletics. The Athletics. I'm going to say this: the Athletics being the laughing stock of the MLB for so long, Moneyball and all this shit. Now, sell the team. They've turned it around. This season, they're actually a contender to at least finish above 500.
All right. There
and
we go.
On top of it, possibly could make a playoff spot if they play their cards right and if they trade some people or make some free agency moves before the free agent deadline and before the trade deadline. Because their center fielder's a stud. Mm-hmm. I don't know his name. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you. Their Fair pitching enough. Staff is pretty solid. Mason Miller is a stud who throws 100.
Right.
They have former Yankee Luis Severino.
Legend.
I have a soft spot for Sevy because I watched him develop.
Why?
And just, I'm happy to see the Athletics finally get over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
And all it took was them to leave Oakland.
So they're in Vegas now? They're in Vegas. I have not been paying attention.
They're going to be in Vegas.
Right.
Their stadium's being built.
Okay, as we speak.
As of right now, they are in Sacramento.
Oh, God.
So,
wow, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Sacramento A's.
Yeah.
All right.
So...
I'll take it.
With that being said, here's our third baseman.
Okay.
Jose Ramirez, which, no surprise there.
Jose.
J-Ram's been killing it for years.
Yep.
Alex Bregman, who is the reason that Rafi Devers is no longer a Red Sox.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Zach McKinstry, a Tiger.
Oh, shit.
The Tigers...
It's all like a Tiger.
Yes. Evan, play this back when playoff season comes.
Okay.
The Tigers are going to be a problem this year.
Okay.
The Tigers have... I have Scooble.
Oh, he's the pumpkin seed guy. Scooble threw me this pumpkin seed.
Yes. Yes. That guy.
It's a premonition.
Yes. Yes. Scooble.
That is one of my favorite videos Scooble ever.
Is...
Why would he give me a pumpkin seed, not a sunflower seed?
Scooble is a gross pitcher, and it is very good at his craft.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, they've built a solid offense around him with a solid defense, and they're going to be a problem.
Okay.
Within the next, it pains me, the Tigers might be able to make it to a World Series in the next 5 to 10 years if they keep up the pace they're going.
Okay.
Same with all right. Sorry, I just got an NBA draft update. Is the NBA draft going on right now?
Yeah, I just realized I was Cooper just getting Flag, notifications. It's
Cooper Flag number one.
Yep.
Dylan Harper number two to the Spurs.
Yep.
And VJ
Edgecombe
to the Sixers. So as expected, Cooper Flag is going to be in Dallas, and Ooh. Dallas needs a new front office because they traded away Luka.
And I have some fun NHL news.
Oh,
actually,
boy.
That just popped up.
Go ahead, Evan.
NHL and the NHLPA are negotiating an 84-game season in their new CBA.
Wow.
So 84 games instead of 82.
So two extra
games.
Might make a huge difference, just like the NFL.
Yep, exactly. We'll see how that goes. That'll be fun. I'm down for more hockey.
Designated hitters.
Okay.
Ryan O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Rice, who originally wasn't even a catcher.
A what?
Our designated hitter. Sorry,
right, girl. Yep, there you go.
Designated hitter, who originally wasn't even supposed to be a designated hitter this year. But unfortunately, due to John Carl Stanton's injury... gets thrown in the DH spot and is going to be an all-star this year. And I love it.
Hell yeah.
Because who would have thought that...
Nobody, not me.
A rookie, I don't know how many years he's been playing, but...
Yeah.
Would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Brent Rooker, who... Athletic. Brent Rooker. That guy can rake.
He's the man.
He can rake.
All right.
So, here we go with catchers. Cal Raleigh.
Never heard of him.
Alejandro Kirk.
Oh, Cal Raleigh's the guy on the Mariners, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I've been to the home run man.
Yep. Alejandro Kirk.
Oh, man.
And Dylan Dingler. Tigers.
That is like a... Yo, that's a crazy lineup right
baby.
There. That's a crazy lineup there.
Yes, it is.
You're talking about the hamburger guy from Toronto.
Yep.
And then you're talking about the other guy.
And then the dangler.
And then the dingler.
So with this one, I'm going to read the Stifler. Top. I'm going to read the top 10.
Top 10 what?
It's outfielders. Because got three spots to fill here.
Yeah.
So number one.
Are you looking at me like that?
Aaron.
Oh, my God.
The king of New York. The captain. Aaron Judge, baby.
All right.
Riley Green.
That's a country singer. Javier. That's a country singer.
Different Riley Green. He spells his last name not with an E at the end. Riley Green spells this one with a green with an E at the end. Javier Baez, who was originally a shortstop, but is now about to get put in the All-Star game as an outfielder.
Okay. Why not?
Mike Trout, obviously.
Why?
Great. The GOAT of our generation.
Yep.
Stephen Kwan.
Why?
Stephen hit the Kwan.
Why?
Cody Bellinger.
Why?
Kerry Carpenter.
Why?
George Springer.
Why?
J-Rod.
Why?
Julio Rodriguez. And to round it out, Byron Buxton.
Why?
All right. So I don't hate those. That's all those players come to mind when you think of outfielders right. in the MLB.
Yeah, see, I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of like, hey, that's a
Evan
name.
Evan knew all of them.
That's a name. I know who they are, but like I've heard that name Byron Buxton before.
Yeah, Byron Buxton's a beast.
Sure, he's pretty good.
So, in the National
League. I just don't be
watching it. National League. Actually, what the fuck? No pitchers? Oh.
Yeah, screw them.
I guess not. All right. National League. First basemen, we got Freddie Freeman, Pete Alonso, Michael Bush. Obvious ones. Those first two make sense.
Okay.
Second base, Ketel Marte. Did you hear?
Yes.
Leading up to this, to that whole thing now?
No.
Fans have been banned for life.
Good.
Because people the are pieces so, of too. Shit.
Yeah.
Tommy Edmonds and Nicole Horner. Yeah, those first two make sense again. Nicole Horner.
Oh, Nicole.
N-I-C-O, Nicole. But I pronounce it Nicole.
It's Nico.
Nico, or whatever.
I don't know. Nico.
All right. Nico so, Harris. Shortstop, we got Francisco Lindor, Mookie Betts, Ellie De La Cruz. All three make sense. A close fourth, though, is Trey Turner. That also makes sense.
Why?
Third baseman. These also make perfect sense. Manny mm-hmm. Machado, Max Muncy. Come on, spit it out. I don't want to butcher his name. Eugenio Suarez.
What?
And Eugenio Suarez. Yes, that is how you pronounce that. Eugenio Suarez.
D-backs legend. Eugene.
Designated hitters.
Yep.
This one's going to make sense too. Shohei Ohtani, Rafael Devers, Suzuki, I can't pronounce his first name, and a close
Kurt?
No, God no. And a close fourth, Kyle Schwarber, which that one makes sense too.
Schwabe.
Catchers, Will Smith, Carson Kelly, JT Realmuto, all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what annoys me about the National League. The National League, everybody is just every player is going to be the same every year as an all-star because mm-hmm. the National League is just that good.
Right.
Like, I don't know how else to preface it. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
It is that good. Still is that good. Always will be that good.
Yeah. Especially if you're a Dodger.
Fair enough.
And then
I have a question. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
No,
keep
go ahead.
No.
All right. So the top 10.
At the end.
We have Pete Crow Armstrong.
Crow up.
This guy is a stud.
Crow
he plays
up.
For the Cubs. Teoscar Hernandez.
Why?
Kyle Tucker.
Why?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
Why?
Who also is the first person announced for your home for the Home Run Derby this year.
Why?
Number five, fuck you, Juan Soto.
Why?
Number six, Corbin Carroll.
Why?
Seven, Andy Page.
Why?
Eighth, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Why?
Nine, James Wood.
Why?
10, Brandon Nimmo. And a close one for that
Why?
Would be number 11 in the 11th spot, my boy, Nick Castellanos.
Wide.
Okay. Attaboy.
Opportune Castellanos.
Most inopportune guy.
He's the most opportune.
Yes. So that is the All-Star game. So
that's incredible.
Do you actually enjoy
watching the All-Star game or no?
I enjoy watching the All-Star game, actually. A lot of people think it's stupid. I enjoy it, just like I enjoy watching the Home Run Derby. Right. And surprisingly, you know what I enjoy the most out of all the All-Star Week activities?
Home Run Derby.
The celebrity softball game. Because there's so many celebrities that you wouldn't think are athletic, but are very athletic.
Right.
Fair enough. So I'm going to close out this baseball discussion by saying that the National League is really good. The American League needs to figure it out. And yes, it's baseball. Anything could happen. Mm-hmm. But the National League is going to rule the MLB for the next 5 years.
All right.
Unless a brand new star comes in and shakes up, or many different stars and shakes up the American League.
Yep.
And I feel like at the same time, most of the richest teams in baseball are in the National League, so they can afford these players.
Right.
Compared to the American League, where it's the Yankees and like
Red Sox. Red Sox could probably spend a little bit.
Yeah, the Red Sox spend a good amount. So like those are the only two that come to mind.
Yeah.
But just the MLB, everybody that says that baseball is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that says hockey is boring. Sit down and watch just one.
Mm-hmm.
One game. And just sit there with no expectations. Just watch.
Yeah, there's really no expectations. Especially for a sport like baseball, you know? I mean, you think about it in hindsight. You're just throwing a ball and hitting it with a stick.
Yeah. You know?
There's one more thing to do than golf.
Yeah.
If you like to watch golf, you'll probably love baseball.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's all I got on that. I'm excited for the All-Star game. I'm excited to see what happens with the second with the Yankees, mm-hmm. and what happens with the second half of the series, or what happens with the second half of the season.
Yep.
Obviously, we'll be checking in week to week on what's going on in the MLB. It might not be as exciting,
right?
Because we're in a weird limbo because we're almost to that time of just the All-Star break and getting a week off of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying sports.
And I agree.
Yeah, that's all I got.
It's good.
Yes, everything's good.
Very good.
So, Evan, quick rundown.
We won't
give stats tonight, but just name a random baseball player.
Baseball player? No.
Random sports player.
Ah, fuck. All right. 1, 2, 3. Kiko Alonso.
Ivan Nova.
Wow.
Yankees baseball. Legend.
Kiko Alonso is tied for being traded the most in NFL history. I'll have you know. Four trades.
All right.
Four trades. Right. Kiko Alonso. So
I'll leave you with that.
Bills, Dolphins, Niners,
Bengals. I don't know.
Someone else legend. At least two other teams. It's been traded four times, which means there's five teams.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah. I thoroughly hope that the listeners who have tuned in today like the new format. You enjoyed our discussions and enjoyed our banter about not just wrestling, but also hockey, baseball, talking about some sports. I got some Kiko Alonso talking about football over here.
Yeah. We're doing good. As the seasons go along, obviously, we'll change our tones on which sports, obviously.
Exactly.
The only sport we might not talk about as much is we don't care about the NBA because it's kind of boring.
I don't be watching basketball. I like college basketball. I'll probably talk college basketball and college football when that time comes.
Yeah, but the NBA has gone soft NBA and everybody soft knows hell. It.
Yeah, once Joel Embiid said he couldn't play back-to-backs, I was out.
Yeah. The last time the NBA was good was 2011.
Yep.
So, with that being said, thank you everybody for listening.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in, man.
And that's Evan.
I'm Evan.
I'm Nick.
That's Nick.
And this was Missing the Mark.
This was the mark.
This was the mark. Now.
This was the mark.
Now, we're missing the mark.
We're missing the mark.
Make sure you don't miss next week's episode.
Don't miss it.
Bang.
Skeet, skeet, bang, bang.